Good morning, beautiful, cherished ladies. How are you guys doing? I am so excited that me and Pastor Alicia get to have our cherished conversation this morning. I'm Pastor Katie, or Katie for my personal Instagram friends, and I am the campus pastor over in Eastlake, and I am obsessed with Cherish. Beautiful Pastor Leanne asked us to share this morning. Yeah. We love you, Pastor Leanne.
We love you.
So, so much. And Pastor Alicia,
yes,
also my friend, she oversees pastoral care here at Awaken Church.
Yeah.
And
the best job ever.
Literally the best job ever.
I get to care for people all the time.
Fun fact, I worked under Pastor Stacy before Pastor Alicia stepped in doing pastoral care. That was my first taste of Awaken Church.
That's right.
But we thought it'd be really fun and awesome to bring up the conversation surrounding the topic of change. Change, you guys! Oh my gosh! And when Pastor Leanne asked me, that was the first thing that came to my mind is, wow, how much change have we all gone through this year?
This year has been an epic year of just change. Like, wow, can I at least have my coffee the same? No, that was closed too.
I know, every single thing is different.
But everything was changing.
Yeah, and I think too, so Alicia and I have been friends. We've been friends for years.
Yeah, like, I think what your first year that you came to the church, how many years ago was that?
I think it was 7 years ago.
Yeah, we became friends then and kind of locked arms and started skipping down the path of life.
It's true, but I thought what a better conversation to have with you because we're kind of opposites. We're a little bit yin and yang.
Yes.
Alicia is very structured, type A, organized, has her ducks in the row.
One would think.
Well, that's what I think. You're amazing, Alicia. And I'm more free-spirited, type B personality, where I like to... I actually secretly enjoy change to a certain extent. But even in all of my personality traits of being flexible and loving adventure, it's been hard for me, all of the change of this year. So we just thought it'd be good to talk about when you hate change, but you're confronted with it, what do you do?
Yeah, what do you do?
Yeah, so, Lishi, do you want to kind of share some of the things that you've walked through this year?
Oh, gosh.
All the changes?
Yeah.
The good, the bad, the awesome.
I don't know, this year has been kind of an extreme year of change for me. I mean, life is always ever-changing. Like, there's the good changes. You know, I've had 3 kids and 3 years, and that's a massive change in life. And
you're
those are good changes, you know.
Right.
And but there's still changes. You still have to adjust, and you still have to course correct and make life happen. But when you're faced with the amount of extreme traumatic change, I think is the way I would describe it. And traumatic change, I think, is probably the hardest thing to face.
Yes.
You know, we live in a constant world of change. That's the way God created our world, is changing. It's built on 4 seasons.
Right.
If you think about creation, creation was change.
Right.
You know,
so
like it
true.
Was going from darkness to light to chaos and all this stuff happening to formation of heavens and earth. And so he created change. He created our world out of change. So there's those things are good. But when you're faced with a traumatic change like I was this year, basically, I mean, you know most of it, but Lance's mom, who was our primary caregiver of our children so that my husband and I could both work and pastor full time, she passed away super suddenly, tragically, and really caused us to put the brakes on our life and look at everything. Like, there was nothing was in order. Nothing was planned. There was literally nothing that was going to look the same after that moment.
Right.
And when you lose someone that's that much a part of your everyday life, the amount of change that you have to go through emotionally and physically is kind of extreme.
Yes.
And we had to change how many days I can, you know, come into the office, who's going to be looking after my kids. You know, I was always super comfortable with doing what I do for a living at this church and loving on people because I knew that my kids were getting the best care that they could get through their Nana. And then all of a sudden, Nana's gone.
Yeah.
And now I'm having to look at all of these changes and all of my life. And I think the biggest thing was God put in this season, I felt God just say, be still and trust me. These are changes you can't control.
Right.
You can't, you could not have done anything else to make this happen differently.
Wow.
And those are the hardest changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, I mean, don't get me wrong, like I had my moments of crying, of losing it, feeling completely out of control. And I think that's okay. I feel like when we lock ourselves in a closet and tell ourselves we can't feel these things, then we're trying to control the change itself.
So true. I'd be guilty of that. Yeah.
I think the best thing to do in that moment when I was faced with that extreme change and having to adjust every day of my life will look completely different for the rest of my life because of that. I had to really go to a place of trust.
So good.
And releasing.
Yeah.
And I mean, if I was honest, it was like you're heartbroken and now you're faced with life.
Right.
And it was, I just constantly remember God is the God of today, yesterday, and forever.
Beautiful.
His love is unchanging. Like Psalms 107 says, his love is unchanging. It's always going to be the same.
Yes.
And so I had to rest in that and really go to battle for trusting him through that change.
Right.
I had nothing else.
Yeah.
I was empty.
It's like when everything gets stripped away,
you're
actually able to see what you actually believe and what is actually true.
Yeah.
Because even this whole year has been that.
Yeah.
We're talking about trauma, but then also just practically speaking, us as women, we're kind of the ones that set the atmosphere.
Totally.
For our family, for our homes.
Yeah.
Even if you aren't married, you still set the atmosphere. Like, I think God put that in us as women to be the carriers of atmosphere. And so that was something that I realized really quickly when, you know, the shutdown started in March. It was like within 1 week, I lost my preschool for my son shut down. My nanny moved back home with her parents. My parents were my mom's in the medical field, so she wasn't able to come step in, help at all. We weren't able to see my family. And I mean, this is like surface level, but my housekeeper who did my laundry.
Level. Come on, that laundry is huge.
You guys,
when you have small children.
I worked really hard. Like, I'm very motivated. My business outside of my ministry, I'm motivated by like fun and like, can somebody please do my laundry? Like, I am not good at my laundry. And so I was blessed. I made this a year ago. I hit this business goal where I'm like, all right, I'm hiring a housekeeper. I'm never going to do my laundry ever again.
Amen.
And then overnight, the loads just started stacking up on my couch.
Yeah.
And my children were wearing very strange, mismatched outfits, and I was losing my mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My whole family, my husband was working, doing like really important business calls. He's an engineer by trade, and his niche is working with government agencies and people that like work in the Pentagon. He'd be like on a phone call in his office with somebody from the Pentagon, and my kids are losing their mind, and I'm losing my mind, trying to keep them quiet.
Yeah.
So it was like overnight, the worst changes happened from a practical standpoint. And I felt like completely out of control. And I think, and I want to talk about, you know, there's kind of two paths when we're confronted with change, like the unhealthy coping mechanisms that I think are in our nature that I realized quickly, wow, I need to figure out how to cope and how to process these changes.
Yeah.
And then there's the healthy things. And I want to kind of go down both of those avenues. And maybe for you guys that are listening, you can relate or connect with some of these things in both sides. I know that I can. Because I've had so many conversations and even like myself venting, like, I feel out of control. And that is not something that normally I'm complaining about because I'm an Enneagram 7. I'm type B. I'm always wanting to change. I'm always wanting an adventure. Like, I always have a vacation on the books. Like, I am constantly seeking change, but not this kind of change.
Yeah, well, there's, like I said, there's good change, which is fun. Like, oh, we're going to go on a trip.
And, right, yeah.
Oh, you know, I'm buying a house. And then there's the not good change, and there's the sudden change. And I think there was a lot of sudden changes for a lot of people in this year. You know, even me, and before Lance's mom passed away, you know, we were faced with Lance losing his brand new job. And
so crazy.
I remember when he called me, I was at North Campus, I was working, he's like, babe, this is what happened. I was like, okay. I held myself together for about 30 seconds. I hung up the phone and I was like, like on the couch, and I text Stacy, and I was like, I don't
know,
SOS, like, please call me, I'm melting down. It's okay in those moments of change, I think.
Everyone needs a Stacy. Everyone needs that friend that your world is falling apart, and you can reach up and grab the phone and call somebody that is going to, you know, just be wisdom and love at the same time.
And pray for you and, like,
and
encourage
you,
you know. And she just said, oh, gosh, friend, I'm so sorry. Well, she took a few minutes to call me because she has a very busy life. But, you know, once we talked, she talked to me. And I was sobbing. You know, I was like, how could this happen? We just... Like, I think for us, we just gotten through a massive breakthrough. We felt God behind us. We were in a good place financially.
Wow.
And then all of that was gone in a second. And I remember just losing it. I think that's an okay thing. Like, when you're faced with that, you know, extreme change, which I think a lot of us have been this year. I think a lot of us have felt the financial changes and... You know, and then just the atmosphere is constant change. Like, oh, are we going to be in lockdown this week? Are we like,
oh my
what's
gosh.
Happening? Right? Like, none of us know.
Yes.
So I think knowing that in that moment, I was okay to have a moment, but then coming out the other side of it, or even like later that night, processing it with God, and God's my safe space. You know,
so
when
good.
You're in those places,
right.
And when, you know, you lose your laundry person, I mean, moms, can I get an amen? Anybody wants to bless Katie, you know what to help her with, go fold her laundry. Just kidding.
I will love you forever. My babysitters
Shameless
know.
Plug.
They know how to get the tip, fold my laundry.
Yes. Yeah, I know. For me, I'm an acts of service person, too, in that way. Like, if you do something extra to make my life a little bit easier, I'm like, yes. That
I love
helps
you so much.
I love you. But I think, you know, there's that good processing of change. I have not always processed change that way. I, as Kate, as you mentioned, like, I'm a type A person.
Right.
So for me, I'm very organized and very structured. I think having a mass amount of children all at once has really helped me to, like, break any element of control.
Yeah.
Like, you have three small children, you never know what bag you're going to pick up that morning. Like, even today. Complete chaos. But I made it. I'm here.
And you look fabulous.
Thanks.
Yes.
But you just, those are the things that, you know, if you are a type A person, okay, am I operating in the spirit of control right now? Does it have to be this way? Because if not, I'm going to lose my ish.
Right.
Or am I going to, like, just walk through this moment with grace?
Right.
And peace and wisdom?
Taking
that moment.
I found, and I'm sure that you found this too, there are some knee-jerk things that happen when people feel out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that's made me really sad is this knee-jerk reaction to just run away to something.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And we've seen...
Hiding.
Yeah, just like, oh, I can't handle this. I'm just going to try to go... It's like the grass is greener on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
If your grass is, you know, a little dry, or you're freaking out thinking that if I go somewhere else, then it'll solve all my problems.
Yeah.
And it's just not the case. It's not, the Bible says, like, to plant yourself.
Right.
And I actually had this picture a few months ago when I was praying, and people were, their roots weren't deep enough, and so they were just getting plucked out of the dirt and just blown. And you know dandelions? Like, they're made to, like, the wind will
To blow.
To blow in their seed scat or whatever. But I actually saw people like dandelions because they had allowed themselves to become easily picked up by the wind. And if you're not planted, then you will get beat up by the tossing and the turning and the, I mean, gosh, you just go on Instagram and it's like this, you know, this opinion and this worldview and you should be doing this and you should be doing that and you should be thinking this. And there's so many things that are constantly being thrown at us. And I even think, like, for me personally, a worldview, my worldview, I've never had to fight so hard to be secure in my worldview in year 2020.
Yep.
And the change that is being, there's so many bullies in the world that are, you know, bullying people into wanting to think this or latching onto this movement or this slogan or these different things. It's like, if you're not planted, then you're going to get, you're going to get picked up and beat up a bit. But so that's like one thing that I've seen, and I've had to check myself because it's easy to get carried up in the emotional rhetoric of what's happening in our world. But then the other side of that, in walking with people, and we've experienced trauma this year and loss of a family member and job security leaving with my husband's new business and all these different things. And it's so easy to just wall up, like to allow your heart to become unapproachable.
Right.
It's like a self, well, like a it's self-defense mechanism.
Yeah. At its core, which is ultimately control. I'm going to control the environment around so that I don't feel hurt or pain. And I think change gives you two options. You can either walk through it as a healing process, or you can walk through it hurting you.
So true.
And going back to your dandelion example, I think it's very true. If we're not rooted and our roots aren't deep and you get picked up and you're a dandelion in the wind, you don't know where you're going to be planted next.
Wow.
If you think about it, like dandelions just spread their seeds and they just go everywhere. Some of them will end up in good soil. Some of them will not end up in good soil.
Right.
Some will end up in water and drown.
Yeah.
And some will end up in another tree and just sit there with nothing to grow on.
Wow.
So, I mean, my kids love blowing dandelions because they love to see the just everything kind of floating away. And I think for me, the only thing that's brought me constantly through change successfully, and I would say, I could say that I've been able to like walk through change relatively successfully now, even though it's never easy, I'm able to do it, is being rooted, is being planted, is having a foundation in a solid church that's there, that's constant.
Yes.
Knowing that God is for you, so who or what can be against you.
Yeah.
Reciting that to yourself and knowing that He has a big, bright future. I prophesy that over my children every night. Your future is big. Your future is bright, you know? And no matter what you're faced with that day or that next day, you know, even, you know, dealing with kids crying over the phone 5 minutes ago.
Real life situation.
Real life situation.
Like 2 seconds ago. It's true, though.
You know that their future is going to be okay.
Yes.
Because you prophesy those things into existence. I think prophecy over your changes is so important.
Yes. So
like, prophesy the good part of your change.
Yes.
If you're so faced with a bad situation, like example, Lance's mom passing. Bad situation. Never, ever going to be happy about that. Okay?
Right.
Like, I'll be happy when I get to heaven and I can high-five her and we can do our, you know, big family hug and reunion. But on earth, I'm not going to be happy that she's gone.
Right.
Even though she's hanging out with Jesus. But it's what you choose to do in that moment.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of like just going, okay, I'm going to choose to see the good thing in this. So the good thing is I get to spend a little bit more time with my kids.
Beautiful.
You know?
Yeah.
I get to be more part of their life than I was previously. Is it a challenge? Is it a change? Is it an adjustment? 100%.
Right.
Has it been hard to find the right person to help me on the other days? Yes. But I know that even through this, like, you know, when I was processing this with pastors and kind of talking about it, they were like, Alicia, God has the perfect person who's going to be more of a blessing to you than you could ever imagine. Yep. They're going to help you in your home. They're going to bring peace. It's going to be easier for you. And focusing on those things than the challenge that I'm faced with,
right.
You know, even just in the last 3 weeks, like the unsettling journey I went through with childcare and feeling like pulled in 100 different directions, I knew God had a plan. Like, that was probably my deepest moment of trust, was that moment, the last 3 weeks. And God just said, Alicia, because every time I tried to fix something, I was trying to do it in my strength here. Like, I have the ability. I can fix this. Mm-hmm. I know how to do this stuff. I can figure it out. Every time I tried, 3 times, door slammed in my face. Bam. Like, not just, like, kind of, like, subtle. It was like, okay, this person's interested. Bam. Nope, got a full-time job. What? Like, who's getting full-time jobs these days? Let's see. You know? I'm like, okay, all right, God. Okay, so finally, I get the clue. God says, trust me, I'm working it out. And then bam, 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 all three things, like three things happened all at once, like in an hour. And it all lined up perfectly.
It's beautiful.
And now I have this beautiful person in my world. You know? So,
yeah.
But I hung on to the positive part of the change, not the painful part of the change. Not the, I didn't let the lies of, you're not capable, you can't do this, you can no longer do what you used to do for the church, you can't, you're not a good enough mom. Like, those little lies that come at us, it's taking every thought captive, especially in a world of constant change.
I love that you said that, and I even want to add this to that, because if you're not aware of your thought life, then you're going to be in for it. And if there's been anything that I have learned and I have harped on, and my East Lake Cherish girls know this, we have got to turn to the Word of God.
Yeah. Amen.
You have to do that. And it has to be, I know, I hate to say this, in my opinion, what I found in my personal experience, if I do not get into my Word and spend time meditating on the Word of God at the very beginning of my day, then I am susceptible to so much that it's harder for me to discern. It's harder for me to filter things correctly because of the season that we're in. And so with everything changing so much, the only thing that never changes is the Word of God and the principles of God and the promises of God. And so I just encourage you guys, and something that I've been really fighting to find a rhythm and a ritual with my mornings. And
every mom.
I know. And it means setting my alarm. It means setting my alarm early.
When it's still dark.
Yeah, when you shouldn't be awake. If you have little kids.
Yeah.
But if you don't, then enjoy the season of being able to wake up in the daylight and read your Bible.
And have a coffee with no one going, Mom!
But I've heard, I heard it somewhere, I can't remember where, change is the only constant. And it's true.
It's so true.
If there's anything that we can count on, it's that change is going to come. And there's some changes that are comforting. Like, I actually love the change of the season. Going from, you know, we're going into fall now, and all the beautiful, amazing things that come with fall. The pumpkin spice lattes and the pumpkin decorating and the baking and all of that. Like, I love embracing that part of the change from summer. And every turn of a season, I get really excited because it means, you know, I get to go pick out some things from Home Goods and new activities to do with my family and my friends. But I just have found in this year, and I've come out of not coping well with things where I would have anxiety attacks or panic attacks, and it always came from not feeling in control. But the truth is, we're not in control anyway. So when change comes, it shouldn't trigger us trying to control things. It should trigger us to embrace what God has for us in that new season. And so a thing that is like a mantra for my life is rhythms and rituals. So no matter what is happening, I know that I can have rhythms to how my household is run, whether or not I have help, whether or not my relationships are in a good place or in a bad place. I've put into place rhythms and rituals, And it's helped be that constant to where I don't feel like I have to control. And are we not seeing like the full manifestation of the spirit of control?
100%.
Like with people trying to sanitize, like there, I saw a video in the plains of like people like spraying clouds of, I don't even know what, to like sanitize, and like you walk through these arches where it's like they're spraying people because they're afraid of germs. And it's like you have to pump hand sanitizer on you no matter where you go, and like all these things. And yes, it's good to like, you know, have good hygiene. Praise the Lord, we're finally learning how to have good hygiene as a society. I'm like, wow, yay. I feel like it's like a toddler classroom driving on the freeway. Wash your hands. I'm like, this is what is in my son's preschool class.
That's so true. And then you have to remind everybody to sanitize their hands in the toddler class.
And it's silly to, you know, it's funny to make fun of some of that stuff, but I look at the root of that is needing or wanting to try to control your health or the things happening. Yeah. And at some point, you do have to surrender and make some choices. But you can still have those rhythms and those rituals in your life. Like, as a mom, I have a rhythm for my kids' day. And it's not based off of the clock. It's based off of the things that we go to where they know what to expect. They're still little. But even for myself, like I'm learning how to take care of myself through mothering my toddlers, because I need that too. I need some type of consistency. So I started working out again, which has been huge.
I'm jealous.
There's some good coping. good coping mechanisms that help our mental health. You know, making time where I'm not talking about church. I'm not talking about anything. I'm just having fun with my husband. I'm like, Mike, can you take me out to dinner and let's just flirt? Like, where we don't talk about serious things, or go out with your girlfriends, you know, have a beach day, like make time where you put some boundaries up, where you are able to enjoy your life and enjoy all the things that God is wanting to get to you.
Yeah.
Because 100%. It helps. Like, it helps having that perspective, and like what you were saying, taking captive your thoughts. I went to counseling when I was in my early 20s for my anxiety, and that was the very first thing that my counselor walked me through, was how to take captive my thoughts. I had no control over my thought life. Yeah. Like, a thought would pop in my head, and I would just chase it down the little rabbit hole, and it usually ended in, I'm going to die, or somebody's going to die, it was horrible.
Yeah.
So I just think, if you need help, and the Bible talks about the renewal of your mind, it talks about taking captive those thoughts. A book that I really cherish is Mama Joyce Meyer's Battlefield of the Mind.
Yeah, amazing.
Is incredible for helping you cope with change in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is, so much of it is mental, but get in your word, ladies. Get your physical Bible, open it up.
Yes.
Read a
Not
verse,
your phone, 'cause that's
highlight
distracting.
It. No, put your phone in a drawer.
Yeah.
And ask God, what does this verse mean for me?
Right.
What do you
want
to say?
He's so good. He will always reveal to you what it needs in that season.
Yeah.
And I want to go on the other extreme, because I love the rituals thing. But I think if your rituals become your idol, you're now back in the control zone.
Yes. Yep.
Of, now it has to be because I need this.
Right.
So, which is all in control. So for me, being a more type A personality and having a rhythm, and, you know, rhythms are super important.
Yes.
I love rhythms. And I've learned how to be more flexible in things, because you are faced with constant change. And so I might have a schedule and a, you know, plan for my week, but I am flexible. And I think having that flexibility and really praying that in, just, you know, having
God. Because then your
expectations
are, like, constantly failing.
Right, and you don't
really
feel
good.
Like you're, like, so behind the game because of, I didn't get this and this and this done today.
Right.
You know, like, if you are a checklist or a type A person, it's really easy for that to swallow you whole. And now you feel like you didn't complete your tasks or whatever. So I think having that checks and balance, and knowing that's the extreme.
That's really good. I used to make a checklist at the end of the day and cross it out of what I did do.
Just to feel feel good, like little like check boxes.
I'm like, oh, I want to be a checklist person. I did this. Yep. I did this. Oh.
Feels so good right now.
Woo! Productive. Anyway, well, I know we're nearing the end of our time together, so I would just love to pray over all of you beautiful, amazing, cherished ladies as we embrace the change in our lives. But God, we thank you so much right now that it says in your word that you are an anchor for our soul, no matter what change lies ahead of us, that we can depend on you, that you are anchoring us to your word. You're planting us in the house of God where we can be surrounded by community and love and wisdom. And I declare today for every single woman listening right now that she would find peace and security in you and you alone, God, that no matter the storm, no matter the season, that she will be firmly planted and she will be confident and she will have a mind of Christ. So we love you, Jesus. We thank you for all the things that you're doing within Cherish Ladies and in our church, in our city. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Alicia, thank you so much. This was so fun.
So fun.
Hope you guys enjoyed this Cherish conversation. Yes. Make sure to tune in next week. And we hope you have the best weekend. Mwah.